Good evening. It is good to be here this evening. It's good to see some faces we haven't seen for a while, as some of you have been out ill or some of you have been out on maternity leave. And so it's great to see you back and amongst the brethren. The main topic of our Enhanced Biblical Studies class, the second class of this past semester, was the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. After a study of this passage, I was inclined to ask myself some questions, and so I decided I'd ask you these questions as well. How do you live your life? Are you living for yourself? Are you living for your spouse? Are you living for your kids? Or are you living for God? I was compelled to ask these questions as the studies kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper over this one passage. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Matthew 16 verse 24, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." It may seem difficult for us to self-deny, because we've been conditioned to take care of numero uno. And while I believe it is important to make sure that we take care of ourselves, Christians should be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. We should be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, singular, is listed in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, and it is listed as 9 different things. Again, we covered this. We just finished covering this in our Enhanced Biblical Studies class. We had an introduction, then we had 9 individual lessons on these things. I'm not going to go into that, but this is the passage, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, and I want you to keep this in mind, because I'm not going to do an expository lesson on this passage, but what I'm trying to get at is we're supposed to be exhibiting these characteristics as Christians. And this is the thing, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." Verse 25 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." The way we live our lives is important to God. I would venture to say that there's more in the Bible about righteous living than any other topic. But how, when, and where do we exhibit the fruit of the Spirit? I would say the when and the where are easy, always and everywhere. The how is a bit more difficult to muster. And in fact, when we fail in the how, it often affects the when and the where as well. When I say always and everywhere, this means that we have to show ourselves as Christians, no matter where we are, no matter who we're dealing with, whether you're in a Hatfield and McCoy's type feud with your neighbor, or if you're just cruising social media believing that you're putting all the gainsayers in their place. We cannot tuck our Christianity away and only pull it out when we're in the building on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. This may be hard for us to do, because I know that sometimes we deal with people who are, for a lack of a better term, difficult. We deal with difficult people all the time. Perhaps a neighbor gets irritated with someone, and so he makes a lot of noise or does something out of pure meanness that affects the whole neighborhood just because of the one person he's angry with. We deal with difficult people all the time. Our immediate reaction may be to lash back, or perhaps to speak out, "Well, I'll go over there and I'll set him straight," or "I'll give him a piece of my mind." James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." A co-worker recently showed me a video of a woman on an airline. And some of you may have seen it on social media, or I don't know where the video came from. He just pulled it up and showed it to me. And this woman is irate, and she's screaming at the flight attendant. And she's saying, I want this man moved from this seat beside me. I want him moved. I want him taken out. He needs to go somewhere else. Ma'am, I'm sorry, the plane is full. There's nowhere, no place we can move him. He needs to move. He's breaking the law. He won't show me his proof of vaccination. Ma'am, I'm sorry, the lady keeps pleading and pleading, and the flight attendant is very nice, and this lady is getting more and more agitated the more that she argues, the more demanding she's becoming. He needs to move. You want me to call the police? He's putting everyone in this plane's life in danger. He's putting me and my children in danger. This woman goes on and on and on, and the flight attendant's doing the best that she can. And all of the passengers sat quietly, observing this as it was going on. Somebody said something, you hear a voice say something early on, but after that it's just her and the flight attendant arguing, and whoever's holding the cameras over here, and they're filming, I'm sure, with their phone. All of the passengers sat quietly as all of it played out. Finally, the pilot comes in very calmly, and he explains to her the difficulties of airline travel during this time, and explains to her that she needs to leave the plane now. She before she could say anything, everybody on the plane applauded. And she got this look on her face of shock and surprise and was escorted off the plane. I use this illustration because as I was watching it, I was thinking, man, I am glad I was not on that plane. Because I don't think that I could have kept my mouth shut through all of that. I'm afraid I would have had to say something to her. I may have gotten involved in this argument. After thinking of it, I had to wonder, is that who I am? Am I that guy that has to speak up against someone who is obviously making a fool of themselves already? If I am, maybe I'm not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Had I been in the plane with that situation, would my attitude have been one of peace and holiness? Maybe this is something I need to work on. You see, we live in a time where we have so much access to information that it doesn't take much to set us off. While not on the same extreme as the irate woman on the plane, I'm afraid we've become just as demanding sometimes of others. Romans chapter 14 and verse 19. Romans 14 verse 19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Have you ever had an issue with someone and you're afraid to say something to them because you're afraid they may explode? You're afraid of their reaction? Oh, I don't know. I need to say something to him, but oh, he's going to be so mad. Oh, he's going to just lose his cool. I hope that people don't feel that way about me. It is unfortunate that there are some people that we don't get along with simply because there are some character traits about them that we don't like, and therefore we won't give ourselves the chance to get to know them. And I found this to be true when put in a situation where you're forced to be in with someone that you don't like. And I'm sure military people deal with this all the time because they're put in a group of people and there's that one guy that's like, oh gosh. You ever sit in a Bible class and there's one guy that just keeps talking and you're like, oh, if he would just be quiet. I'm trying to learn here. Or any public situation. There's always that one person that they have something about them that irritates us, and so therefore we don't give ourselves a chance to get to know them. And this is a point I may have a difficult time expressing this, because it is indeed sad. I'm sure that if you seriously considered it, you'd find that there are some character traits about everyone you know that you really don't like, even the people that you like the most, your family members and your closest friends. So, that being said, there are also some wonderful things about your friends and those closest to you that you absolutely love. If you are a parent, you have more than one child, then you understand and know that each one has their unique personalities and abilities. And there are certain things that you love about one that you won't, that the other one won't have, and there are things that you love about the other that one won't have. Imagine how God sees all of us when He looks upon us and He can clearly see our faults and our good points and everything about us. And He created each one of us in a unique way, that there's something special about us to Him. And if there's something special about that person to God, then there's something special about them to all of us. And we fail to see that. I believe sometimes we just fail to look at that because that person just really gets under my skin. Wouldn't it be great if we could all look for those great qualities in others before we pass judgment upon them? Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12, 18. How am I supposed to live peaceably with all men when so many of them are idiots? Do you see the problem with that statement? It's funny how we consider others based on, or we may say someone is an idiot or something derogatory about them, based on their social, political, or religious beliefs. And we look at those people and like, is that statement, when I say something like that, is that the way I should be as a Christian? Am I exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit when I'm saying this person is really an idiot? I'm sorry. No, you're not sorry that they are. It's one of those things. Again, when we consider others' attitude based on whether they're going to like them or not, based on their social, political, or religious beliefs, while I believe that many people are victims of a society that has spoon-fed them their agenda for decades, I'm not so naive as to believe that they are the only ones that have been brainwashed. Which means that sometimes we're so wrapped up in our own beliefs that we fail to recognize or even consider what is driving those beliefs from them. Why do they believe the way they are? Well, because they're idiots. That's the first thing. Because they're idiots. Wait a minute. Let's sit and let's ask why they believe that way. Or let's get to know and maybe question them. You may find out that you were right in the first place. They're idiots. That's all there is to it. And we know that. We've seen that. The problem is that we all need to try to understand each other's views and beliefs and make educated assessments from there. But this, again, involves the mentality of living at peace with one another. We have an attitude of like, don't cross me. Don't cross me. Don't get on my bad side. You ever hear somebody say that? You don't want to see my bad side. Yeah, apparently I don't. I don't get mad, I get even. Christian attitude or not? Not a Christian attitude. If you're waiting for others to make the move, you may be waiting a long time. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Who are the peacemakers? They are those who are out to do good and to try to make peace. Try to live peaceably with all men. In our study in the fruit of the Spirit, the very last of those was temperance. And Brother Sean Price was scheduled to teach the lesson on temperance. And a week before his lesson, he was contacted and he said he could not teach because his job had changed and he would not be able to do the class. And so it was dropped in the lap of Stephen Patterson at the last minute. And he brought the meaning of the word to life in a way that I had never considered, this temperance. It is this facet of the fruit of the Spirit that allows us to clearly practice all the others. It is the temperance that allows us to refrain from telling off that idiot that is constantly disrespectful to us, to our spouse, to our friends, to our God, or maybe just to the staff of an airline that we're sitting in listening to them. It is that temperance that allows us to not lash out. It is that temperance that allows us to be that person that is cool, calm, and collected. It is this temperance that gives us the patience to endure the nonsense that's spewing forth from others long enough to help them find their way to Jesus, which should be our ultimate goal. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. I believe the easiest way to erase the idiot from in front of somebody's name is to teach them about Jesus. Because once they obey the gospel and follow the gospel and follow the word of God, some of those other things will just fall by the wayside. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Now, that passage there, it's a little bit of a long passage, but it's deep and it's bold. For the King James phrase, bowels of mercies, the ESV renders this compassionate hearts, and in the ASV it is a heart of compassion. So I took these three different translations and I considered what it means. If you take any one of these statements and you attached the opposite to someone, what does it say? For bowels of mercies, the opposite would be merciless. Have you ever heard somebody lash out at someone else mercilessly? Maybe a Christian lashes at someone or gives them what we call a tongue lashing mercilessly. The ESV and the ASV are really too close to separate, as it is compassionate hearts and a heart of compassion. But a heart of compassion is one who is cognizant of others' pain and suffering and has a sense of urgency to help that person, to comfort that person. You ever see someone crying and you want to walk up to them and say, is it because of your haircut? No. A compassionate person, of compassion, what do we say? We see someone crying and we automatically say, they're hurting. What are they going through? A heart of compassion, cognizant of others' pain, the opposite of which is one who lacks these traits, cold, calloused, with no heartfelt desire to comfort others, an attitude of, that's their problem, they got themselves into it, let them get themselves out of it. They got what they deserve. She got what she asked for. Perhaps she did. But the Bible tells us they were to have this attitude, this compassion attitude. Everyone you know, should they be asked to describe you as a person, will respond with whatever you have exhibited to them the most. You agree with that? Absolutely. So when you are being described by your peers, do they use these words? A heart of compassion, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forgiving. Is that the way you're described? When people think of us, do they use the words of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23? Do those things come to their mind? If I mentioned your name from the pulpit, would the congregation say, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? I'm afraid Satan has kept us busy just trying to stay afloat, that sometimes we fail to see that God expects us to exert effort to fortify all of these qualities within our lives. Men especially have a difficulty with this because we're inclined to think that we have to make sure everyone knows how tough we are. I'll take him. I ain't afraid of him. We have that attitude. Even in our meekness, we sometimes have that air about us. I think he is talking to me like that. Oh man, I didn't take that from nobody. But we can fortify these qualities in our lives and live a life that exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. If we can, it's going to start with an easy step that is found in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. A passage we've all read before. All things, therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, even so do you unto them. For this is the law and the prophets. What an easy step towards having the right attitude and exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. It means treating everyone we come into contact the way we want to be treated. I know everyone here at one time or another has had someone that did something special for them. You have at one time, it may have been your wife, it may have been your kids, it may have been your co-worker, it may have been a neighbor, it may have been a friend, it may have been somebody you didn't even know. But there's everyone in here at one time or another has had someone do something that made you feel special or made you feel good. Maybe it was just by sending you a card. Maybe it was remembering your birthday. Perhaps there's that one person who, no matter how long it's been since you've seen them, they act like they haven't seen you in forever and they're happy to see you. Hey, how are you? It's great to see you. That's always good to hear. Hey, how you doing? I'm fine. Some person that's made you feel good about yourself. Now, what if everyone you ever knew made you feel special every time you saw them? Well, they won't. And you can't make that happen. However, you can be that someone to everyone you know by the life you lead as a Christian. It's a powerful thought. We can't make those people treat us good. We can't make people make us feel happy or special, but we can make others feel special by the way we act and live as Christians. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 17. Isaiah 1 verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now, I don't know who came up with the bracelets and the t-shirts and the bumper stickers several years ago that said, "What would Jesus do?" WWJD. It was real popular. Some of you may not even remember it. Some of you may still have those, may remember that very well. They weren't designed to question what Jesus would do, but rather to take charge of our own actions and show forth that temperance spoken of in Galatians. That is, when deciding what we are going to do about something, say, well, what would Jesus do? And since we know what Jesus would do, that's the path we are to take. And the bracelets were to remind us, take the path of Jesus. Maybe all things listed here in Galatians chapter 5 as the fruit of the Spirit are already being exhibited in your life. But if they're not, perhaps maybe you could write them down where you will see them every morning before you go to work or go to school or go about your business. Perhaps you can write them on the mirror where you will see them every day before you go to bed at night or before you leave in the morning. Keep them in your mind, keep them in your heart as to how we should act and treat one another. Perhaps it is that one of the most important things that we can do in this life is live our lives in such a way that heaven can't wait to have us. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected? When we walk.